City of Ocala and Marion County, and the principals of the Magnum property are here as well. I guess I was thinking hopefully this will be a conversation today and try to see where everybody from a timing standpoint, where we're at. And also, I think we'll be discussing some of the dollar figures and some of those kinds of things as we move forward. And with that being said, let's see. Yeah, Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Chairman McLean?
Here.
Vice Chairman Stone?
Here.
Commissioner Amston?
Here.
Commissioner Bryant?
Here.
Commissioner Zelik?
Here.
Mayor Ewers?
Here.
Council President Owen?
Here.
Council President Pro Tem Heimbachel?
Here.
Councilman Gwynn?
Here.
Councilwoman Rich?
Here.
And Councilman Priester?
Present.
Very good. Thank you. If you all stand with me while we say the pledge to the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Who's leading off? Steve, who's leading?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just bring everyone up to speed. Following our last meeting, I was directed by consensus to come back with some, essentially what the budget was, as staff had identified it, and to come back with some options on how that money and the payment of that money could be addressed. I can tell you to that end that city and county staff have met on at least two different occasions, and we've all had independently conversations with Steve Gray on behalf of the developers and the principals on the Magna site. And I know different elected officials have visited the site, as I have. In that regard, I know we met as recently as this morning with city staff and city manager, and it might be beneficial from those discussions if the city could maybe provide a synopsis of where they are with their part of the package, and then Monier and Rick Michael can bring you up to speed on where the county is, and then the elected officials and policymakers can kind of delve into the nexus of how those things might fit together, and ultimately giving direction. In our particular case in the county, you wanted funding options, so we have essentially one additional step that we'll have to take on the options that we presented, but so it'd probably be beneficial for the city to go first and through your presentation.
Matt, are you going to do that?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. First, let me say how much we appreciate the use of the county facility and hospitality. Thank you. Let me also echo Lee Niblock's comments. We have worked diligently over the last week or two. My staff in particular has met for hours, trying to vet ideas, vet win-win scenarios. We've also interfaced Steve Gray and his team many times to deliberate and discuss these ideas. What I'm going to do at this time is invite Mark Mondale to come up and kind of give us a strong framework for where we are right now.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a important and complex project, as we all know. And as Mr. Brower mentioned, a lot hasn't been achieved over the last couple of weeks in working with the developer. There's still much work to be done. And so we're not here today to present to you any final decisions, of course, but a basic framework under which we're continuing our discussions. The last time we discussed the project, there was a discussion about a variety of the infrastructure improvements necessary to support the development of this property as a business park. Those included both on-site improvements and off-site improvements. The county was being requested by the developer in large part to fund the improvements on 35th Street from 441 leading west into the property. There were some off-site improvements on US 27 that needed to be addressed from the interchange just east of Northwest 35th Avenue, which leads north into the property. The city was being requested to fund those improvements on 35th Avenue into the property. There's obviously discussions about how are we going to get water, sewer, electric, all those utilities to the property, what improvements need to be made on the site, master graining, grading, stormwater, the roadway improvements, so on and so forth. The developer and his team have been working, and I know Mr. Gray's here and could speak to this in more detail than I can if you desire, but the developer and his team have been continuing to work on looking at those construction costs and revising those numbers and trying to get that picture to be a little bit clearer. And so that, again, is a work in progress. But where we stand today, the basic concept we've been discussing is that the basic concept is that both the city and county are being asked to make infrastructure investments early in the project, up front. And those infrastructure investments, again, will benefit the public at large. These are roadway improvements. But we also want to make sure that if those roadway improvements occur, that there would be a commitment to extend those improvements so that we connect 35th Street and 35th Avenue and we have a completed roadway segment. In those current discussions, we've been looking to the developer to, in large part, fund those improvements. Again, that hasn't been completely worked out, but that's where our discussions leave us here today. The city and county funding those improvements up to the property lines. The city has been looking at the potential for funding the water and sewer and electric, both off-site and on-site, to support the project. And the developer has continued to offer the paying for the permitting and design fees for the project. One of the benefits of that, of course, is the developer probably has a better ability to expedite that part of the project and move those things forward, or at least would operate on their schedule. The developer has also inquired about the potential for some form of reimbursement for some of their expenses over time. And the basic concept that the city has looked at would be that if that were to occur, that those expenses could be reimbursed from the taxes that are solely generated from the property itself. So that the taxes that the developer would pay over time, or the companies that occupy that property, would reimburse some portion of the improvements that were provided by the developer. Another discussion point has been the rail spur, which I think we all believe is an important component of the project, certainly once a company comes involved that needs that asset. And the developer, we've been looking to the developer to try to fund those improvements, that we would have some level of participation and facilitation of that, but by and large, that would be a developer expense. Matt, is that adequately clever?
I believe so. Yes, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Questions for Mark? Any questions for Mark? I'm sorry.
Anybody?
Thank you, Mark.
Rick Michael and Monier Boyonnais kind of want to provide our perspective because ours is not so much the utilities, it's obviously road infrastructure. Okay.
Good morning, board members. And my presentation to you all today would be specifically on the Northwest 35th Street and that how that is involved with the development of the Magna property.
And that is your handout.
Just a brief history on 35th Street. About 5 years ago, the TPO was looking at the northeast corridor north of town. And through public discussion and different public hearings, it was selected that it would be a combination of Northwest 35th Street and 49th Street to make up the corridor all the way from 36th Avenue west to County Road 225A. After that, the county hired a consultant and we evaluated the whole corridor and we looked at the different alternatives. It was presented to the Board of County Commissioners last year during summertime and an alignment was selected. The alignment that was selected was going to follow Northwest 35th Street all the way from the east to 27th Avenue, across the Magna property and goes to the north, and then follow the alignment of 49th Street to the west to County Road 225A. That project was broken into separate phases, and the phase that we are talking about today is from US 441 to about 3,000 feet west of 27th Avenue, which that section would be on the Magna property. And we have looked at four different options to present to you. The first option on the package that was passed on to you is the option of doing nothing other than following the plan that we had in place previously, which was to get the project designed, and as funding becomes available during the TIP update, we will continue with different phases of that project, which would be, next would be after the design is complete, the right-of-way acquisition, then we will schedule the construction as funding becomes available. Now, if we want to expedite this project and expedite the schedule, attached to the package I gave you, there is an expedited schedule to do the design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction. And that schedule calls for construction to be substantially complete by the end of 2012. Now, if you go to option two, the same thing. We will finish the design in-house, do the right-of-way acquisition, which we have fund to do the right-of-way acquisition, and then break the project in two sections. The section from US 441 to 27th Avenue will be constructed by the county, and we will need to identify funding to do that section. We have some money that will be saved from the bond, and in addition to that, we may have to borrow some additional money to be able to do that construction. The other section would be from 27th Avenue to the west, which would be on Magna property, and that section could be constructed by the developer for future reimbursement. And reimbursement could be in the form of future impact fee credits or any other arrangements for future reimbursement to the developer. That's the second option. The third option will follow the same format, just finish the design and finish the right-of-way acquisition, and the county does all the construction. And to do that, we will have to come up with some additional funding, probably about $6.6 million. It could be a bank loan, it could be some shift in priorities or using money from contingency or any other source that can be made available to the board. The fourth option, again, finishing the design in-house, the county will finish the design, do the right-of-way acquisition, then enter into an agreement with the developer to do the construction of the whole project from US 441 all the way to the west side of 27th Avenue. And we would recommend entering into an agreement. It probably would be a tri-party agreement between the city, the county, and the developer. And that section of improvements, of infrastructure improvement, will be part of that agreement. The developer will do the construction and reimbursement in the future, again, in terms of transportation impact fee credits or tax increment credits or some other different arrangements. I believe option four will probably provide the least financial impact to the county and probably the most flexibility to the developer, so he can move this project on their own time. If they want to expedite it further, they can. If they want to delay it further, they can. One thing we will have to address in the agreement, that there will be a cap for the involvement and the reimbursement from the county, and also that construction should be phased in a way that we don't want to do all this project in the construction and nothing's still happening on the Magna property. So the phasing of the construction has to coincide with what's going on the property itself. And if you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. I think the only thing that we can add to the previous discussion is the concern about the railroad. There is potential, as long as the right-of-way for railroad is in place and construction documents are in place, then we would recommend holding until there is a project catalyst or an anchor tenant to be identified for rail use, and then we would use that as a leverage for bringing in state resources to be able to leverage the local dollars there. The estimated cost for the rail at this point is around $2.6 million, depending on the potential for a future tenant of the property. up to about $2 million from state resources would be able to be leveraged on that. So another way of being able to mitigate the amount of cost to both city and the county. That's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you. I think if I'm following this correctly, Steve, would you like to speak on behalf of the developer and what you think you all's responsibilities are going to be as we move forward?
Good morning, Steve Gray, 125 Northeast First Avenue. I'll sort of start with the city end of the project and then go to the 35th Street project. Mark has accurately reviewed our negotiations to date. The city part of the deal is a little bit more complicated in that it's not a single piece of work. There are different elements. Some of them have to be timed. We have been, in fact, discussing a structure in which, with acceptable parameters, we would construct what is the connecting road inside the Magna site to the 35th Street project. And we're repricing that out now, and we have some what we think are final, very refined numbers on that. With that, I would make this comment. We cannot fund, even with TIF or tax credit financing, we cannot fund the internal road and all of the 35th Street project. Cannot, would not. We have had some discussions with the county staff regarding construction of some or segments of the 35th Street project on a reimbursement. But first of all, reimbursement with impact fee credits has a zero value in today's real market. And reimbursement, the terming of the reimbursement would be very critical. Remember that we, as it currently stands in this picture, in addition to the $9.5 to $10 million that's already in the property, we're apparently may be required to construct $3 to $4 million of improvements on 35th Avenue that's inside the project. At that point, we have out of pocket more money than anybody, or a combination of the city and the county. So we're willing to continue discussions. We think we've made progress with the city. I think part of the element of getting this deal worked out is to look at the timing of when everything is going to occur. These are not small projects, and they do not start tomorrow, and they do not get finished in 9 months. For instance, the current projected time for the US 27 improvements, if those are done by FDOT, by moving the money from the 17th Street project, the timing of that would be that could not apparently go out to contract until the end of the year. And so the US 27 improvements, which are a major element of this, are 2012 improvements. In my discussions with the city, I had indicated that I felt, and I have confirmed this with our engineers, that it would be both more effective and cheaper if the construction of 35th Avenue from US 27 to the south boundary of the project is coordinated with, if not done in exactly the same time as the US 27 improvement. So all of that area would be redone at the same time. The engineers have confirmed it would be cheaper, in addition to being more efficient, to do that. So where we are is we, and of course, we are still at this point, the city has committed to us that they would generate the easement or right-of-way necessary across their property, basically paralleling their high voltage distribution line or transmission line. But the city would generate the right-of-way for the rail spur. We're making considerable progress on the rail spur. We are meeting with a national transfer facility operator within the next 2 weeks. So we are making good progress on that. But as was noted, the at this point, if you put things in a column, the construction of the rail spur is in our column. That rail spur has value to us, but it also has value to the entire community. And so at this moment, that's in our column. So the bottom line is we're willing to continue to work through this. I had some discussions with Lee Niblock yesterday in which we were discussing the timing or the required timing of the 35th Street improvements. And I understand that there is a desire that they be coordinated so that we could literally have the driving of the rail state so that at the time of the completion of the north segment of that end of that road of 35th Avenue, we would coordinate the construction of the 35th Street across the north part of the property. And I would, as a final point, just remind you again that the infrastructure that we're talking about immediately makes 240 additional acres developable beyond the scope of our own ownership. Clifton property is immediately developable. It literally is on the road with the water and sewer in front of it. There's other property down closer to US 27. And 35th Street is part of a bigger project. It's part of the entire road segment going over either by an overpass or by an interchange on the 49th Avenue alignment. So we're here. We have our engineers here. And we're continuing. I would describe it as we've made progress. We have to consider the staff recommendation that's been made on the county end, but I do not see our ability to advance the entire construction funds on some type of deferred reimbursement arrangement there.
Any questions from Mr. Gray? Lee, would you just summarize maybe what y'all's discussion was yesterday?
As far as Mr. Gray, we discussed the possibility. Steve brought me up to speed on what the negotiations had been with the city. The city reconfirmed that this morning in a meeting that we had before this meeting. Essentially, we talked about the same type of reimbursement, whether it would be tax increment financing or future value type of financing. Steve said that that was a large number for them to digest, and that if it could be a construct and have some type of a draw or repayment schedule, that would work for them. That would probably move us more into the option two or option three area, which puts us into the market of doing bank loan financing. And Mr. Gary will probably tell you that if you are going to anticipate borrowing money, you would want to do it rather quickly. My desire is not to recommend borrowing any money you don't need to borrow, because obviously of the payback consequences, because we do anticipate that inflation is going to be a lot stronger at the end of this year than it is currently. We do have, because of different reimbursements, whether it's coming from state money or on current projects or completing projects that are currently underway that we think will come in under budget, that we do have money that can be available within the next year and within the next 2 years. And my desire is to recommend to the board that if you don't have to borrow money, don't. And that's why we think we can sit down and negotiate further. Again, we had one more step in the process in the city, and that is, although they had a much more complicated mix of issues with utilities, our particular issue is just about roads, but you also wanted financing options. So we have to get through that part of our county side of the discussion before staff knows how to approach further discussions with Mr. Graham and his clients.
Steve, help me again with the timing of all of this from y'all's perspective.
Well, from our perspective, it is important not only that we have all the boxes checked on what would be a site selector's list. And I think we could cover that in a tri-party agreement where the city, the county, and the property owner are all clearly obligated as to what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and that they have funds committed or they commit funds to do it. But we continue to think that in order to make this easier for everyone, for instance, on the 35th Street, in our discussions with the city on 35th Avenue, going north into the project and making the connection to 35th Street, our current plan would be that we would design the road, permit it, based on what we believe would be the final alignment. And remember, it is a little easier to do this inside this project because it is basically a cow pasture. So we have a blank sheet of paper. We would design and permit the project. We believe that we would have sufficient time that we could delay the start of the construction of that road until we have the first user. We can, if we have designed and already have the project permitted, we can construct that segment of road, the north segment. We can construct that segment of road before a user could complete getting site plan approval, building approvals, and building construction. And that way we compress everybody's involvement. Because if we're on a reimbursement arrangement, you really want to just spend the money as close to the time needed as possible. And Lee and I did discuss a little bit of the same concept on some or all of the 35th Street project. So what you're looking at is, if the city were to do the 35th Avenue improvements from US 27 to the south boundary of the project in coordination with the US 27 improvements, those improvements would occur construction over the calendar year 2012. Now if we're lucky or if we're successful and get the initial user somewhere in that time period, it's almost a different project to do 35th Avenue from that road north. But we're looking at delaying the construction of the road until we have a user. In my conversations with Lee yesterday, that was, I think, one of the things we were discussing, was trying to look at real timelines and say, when do you really need the funds to pay for what's going to go on the ground?
Mr. Chairman, and to add what Steve just mentioned, with our expedited time frame and our revised dates, which is the right column on page 2, we would be substantially complete with construction by the end of next year, which Steve said that's fine for within your time frame, as I understand it. Now, one of the things we have to do is we're in a condemnation process. We probably impact 40 different projects, and that alone will take 10 to 12 months between now and the end of next year. So we've got a lot of work that has to happen to be able to gain the right of way. It's obviously external to the footprint of this project.
While I've got Mr. Gray up there, you mentioned a very key point to all of us, and that's the user, that's the potential user of the property itself. Are you at liberty to tell us at this point in time if you've identified, or if, as the owner, identified any potential user?
We've identified potential users.
Because I can't speak on behalf of the city, but I can certainly give you my opinion of the way the county is viewing this. We don't want to build a road to nowhere, that there's no activity on the property. So it's almost to, when we're talking about an agreement for funding, it's got to be tied into a timeline on when that user or somebody's going to come in and start improving that property and paying it. If we're identifying funding sources, it's got to be tied to what's the impact that those users are going to contribute. So I know you can't tell us who and when and what, but we've got to have some level of surety that that property is going to be developed and it is going to have users on it by the time that we complete all of our projects.
We understand that. But as Lee has noted, you have a lot of work to do before you would be pushing dirt. In the 35th Street project, your plan had been, even before we came along, to do the design and I believe do the right-of-way acquisition. So you have quite a number of parcels that you're going to have to condemn. So I don't think the schedules are all that different. It's just a matter of putting all the schedules on one sheet.
Well, it can work both ways. If you guys have a potential user that wants to be on that site by the mid part of 2012, then that means that we're under a strict timeline. If you say no, nobody's going to be there in 2012, they're going to be there in 2013, 2014.
We'd love to say they're going to be there, and they may be there in 2012, but another thing to think about is that you can, for some time period, I believe, with a user, make use of access, perhaps not the perfect access for them, for some short period of time. You know, there's two ways into the project, the east entrance and the south entrance. The one thing that's pretty certain is that the project location is driven by its proximity to I-75, and so the important entrance initially is the south entrance. So I believe that we can work out an agreement that has a sequence of start dates and timelines that would match up, that are workable with us in dealing with prospects.
But with that in mind, would it be better for us to concentrate our efforts on US 27, 35th Avenue entrance, and not even be concerned about 35th Street going through Magna property?
No, ultimately, there's a reason why the 326 interchange is so busy and why so many trucks move from I-75 to 301 at that location, and that is we're central, so we are serving a lot of truck traffic that goes to Jacksonville, and that truck traffic wants to get, and those users will want to get to 301-441. And so I think it's important we have all pieces of the puzzle done. But I'm concerned about the thought of putting 35th Street on a hold project. I don't think that's going to be workable for us. You know, recall that the second location, it wasn't their first location, but the second location choice, the selected site for Walmart, was at the corner of 326 and 301-441. So that connection, that road connection, is important. And the other thing is, if for some reason you just didn't build it, in which case this project's not going to get built. But if the project got built by somebody and 35th was not reconstructed, I would believe the truck traffic would still go down the road, and the road would be destroyed in a pretty short period of time.
Well, I guess my point was we could still do from 441 to 27th Avenue. That's a project that's on our board. We're moving it up. But to spend money on the access in the property itself, if you're thinking that all the users are going to be using the south end of US 27.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I would say this, if we're confident that when a user is identified and we have a date by which we have to get access, we can build a 5,400 feet of the north-south segment of the road, if you reimburse us for the cost, we can get the 33,000 feet of your road built in that same time period. It's about 5,400 linear feet is the north-south segment, and then your segment is 3,000 feet, the east-west. So I guess what I'm saying, I don't think that would be an issue. I think funding is always an issue, but our ability to get the job done is not an issue.
Steve, I don't know, I may have to ask two or three of y'all to comment on this. Have you all discussed alignment, 35th Street alignment into the property? Has that been a discussion that's taken place at this point?
I think we have, but
are you all in agreement on that?
I believe we are in agreement.
We have discussed that alignment. I believe the horizontal alignment is fine and we are all in agreement. We still have some problems with the vertical alignment, lowering the grade about 16 feet, and that's something we probably will be asking for direction, which way the board wants us to go. And that will add additional cost to the construction.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, Bomier and I, Dr. Niblock, was out on the property yesterday. If you looked at the layout of the property, where 35th Street ends and then enters into the Magna property. Of course, you'd want to come straight across from there, but you have a lot of options once you enter the property. And it would be my recommendation that instead of removing all that tree line that they got there and moving and putting the road there where the actual tree line is to split the road. You have two lanes north of the tree line and two lanes south of the tree line. That utilizes all the property on the north side, which is there is sufficient room. Mm-hmm. Plus, you save a lot in. You could actually change the elevation of the two travel lanes, the eastbound and westbound. You could make it different levels. And if we were to. We're trying to save as many trees in Marion County as we can. I think it would be prudent to at least have someone to look at that alignment versus just removing everything and building a road through there.
And as we discussed yesterday, Commissioner, that is doable unless we have to lower the grade by 16 feet. If we have to lower the grade by 16 feet, nothing you can save in that area. It's all those trees will have to come out.
Well, that begs the other question is the requirement for lowering the grade. I mean, I think I've heard a couple of different stories on why it needs to be lowered. I don't know that I buy into either one of them. So I guess I need to be convinced that it's absolutely mandatory that 16 or 18 foot needs to be lowered down. So.
Yeah, that's the number we received from the developer. That's the grade they want us to be at. And if you would explain.
Bob Farner with Farner Barley Associates. The challenge that we have is the alignment of 37 and the rail spur coming in are approximately 20 feet difference vertically. So in order to get traffic from 37th to a buildable site, which would be between 37th and the rail spur, we've got to get the grade level to the rail spur to be functional because of the restrictions that the rail has on percent grade. So that is the challenge, and I believe we're looking at just a short segment of 37th being lowered so we can accommodate that. The goal is to be able to get truck traffic from 37th to the site that's adjacent to the rail spur so it's functional. And that we feel is a grade that we need to make the site work from a functional standpoint.
Bob, thank you for your comments. And I'm not an engineer, but I will tell you this. If you're trying to make both of them level and you're trying to get the higher grade down to the lower grade, there's going to be a lot of obstacles to overcome. There's a lot of bedrock, a lot of lime rock in that, so it's going to be a very costly endeavor. If you're doing it just because you don't think truck traffic needs to deal with an upgrade going up to 35th Street on the rail spur, that's kind of not a real good reason. Trucks negotiate inclines every day. So I would agree with you if you had 18-foot between the side of the building and the railroad street, but you've got several feet that you could work with there. And I don't know why we can't have the road elevated above the rail spur and the trucks negotiate that incline.
And we'll be glad to meet with your engineers and discuss it and see if there's a compromise or something that will work better.
And that, here's
that's what was driving our grades.
Here's where I go back to. If the county had built that road through the Magna property and there wasn't a rail spur included in the project and it was still going to be a pasture land, we wouldn't cut down that elevation. So whoever who developed the property would have to deal with truck traffic going up an incline, and I bet it would have happened. So there's a significant cost in cutting down that much grade. Now, on the other side, I will argue the other side. If the developer sees the significant need for that incline to be lessened, then we'll fund the project as it's built at normal grade level, and all additional costs to cut it down should be borne by the developer. So that's to fit their needs, not the county roadway structure needs. So,
well, it's a public-private partnership is what we're thinking, that we have the opportunity to make it work for the development. And that's what we're trying to do, is to achieve the best for the user, the end user. And we are restricted with the rail. We have the opportunity now to adjust grades on 37 before it's built. So that was our point. And if there's a compromise due to cost, then we'll be glad to take a look at it.
Well, I guess it goes back to my original question. Why the need? Is it?
Well, we're pinched. I mean, if you look at the plan, that's the most narrowest point on the property. And with the rail coming in, the restrictions with the rail grade, and the 20-foot difference and vertical, that's the challenge. And that's what we prefer, as we have a clean sheet. That's how we would design it, to make it more functional for the end user, which is what we're about. And if there's a compromise to be made, we'll certainly sit down with your engineers and take a look at it.
I agree with Mr. Stone. Have you guys looked at terracing that part of it?
Yes, sir. Well, with an end user on large warehouses, terracing is not is not allowed. It has to be a flat grade that ties to the rail and to the warehouses that are adjacent to it.
How far is that road? It looks like a long distance to me from the road to the rail. How many feet?
You have a map.
We'd like to participate in the conversation. Hey, Hall.
Yeah.
And Bob, why don't y'all put that over here on our easel, and then that way maybe we can talk about it.
As you can see, this is the nearest point of the project. We're restricted with grade, elevation of grade, 27, and what we can, maximum slip on a rail, which pretty much dictates what this is. This is all water retention area because it's the lowest portion, so we cannot use this. So with a 20-foot vertical from here to the rail is our challenge. So what we were thinking is to lower this road, which is up on a very high knoll, and it drops off very quick to the rail, just to level this area out so it's usable. And we're still terracing. We're still 5 to 6 feet below the road to the site. So we are terracing down. It's just how much can a truck accommodate and have enough usable land between the rail spur and the road
to develop? I think the question by Commissioner Zalek, you don't have any idea what the distance is between the road and the rail? Between the road and the rail?
It's about 800 feet.
800 feet?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying that too, and I know that there are some different things, but I know I can drive my truck that I drive all the time. I can drive.
Like I said, you know, these are details that have to be worked out.
This way we can try to figure out the best thing, because when I went out there cutting that line rock, that's no easy task, and it's not going to be cheap. So, can we find out some kind of middle ground
That's what we're saying.
To work out, because I think that it is important. If you guys do need to come down a little bit, but, you know, let's try to find something a lot more reasonable. Because I think it needs to be changed.
You know, this is just an example. There's so many details to this arrangement, and they do impact the cost. I think we, our preference would be, we understand the question here. You do not want to pay for something that is being generated primarily for how we would prefer to have it designed, if we can live with it the way you have it or whatever. We can work those kind of details out. We understand the issue of the cut and fill. It is not as big an issue, I think, in terms of dollars as you may think, but we can work those out.
One more question I have for you, Steve. When you're looking at that road and you're looking at that tree line, the other concern I had about cutting the road, which is kind of to your point earlier, talking about the properties to the north, is that if you cut that road by 16 foot and drop it right in front of their property, is that property to the north usable? I mean, in that section there, you would be taking a lot of the value away from the property that would be on the other side of the road, because it would have had to be terraced, it had to be walled, something would have to happen on that property in order for them to use their property. And so I'm concerned about the north part of that as well, not just the Magna property. I want them to be able to develop that to their best use as well.
And I understand that, but you would then allow me to make the counter argument here that
Sure. We
shouldn't be required to create a design that costs extra money so that the adjoining property owner who's not participating in this project is ready to just connect their driveway and there they go.
The only problem is, Steve, is you started the argument because you said that that there's 250 or 60 acres on the other side.
And there are. The adjoining property owner.
You started the conversation.
But these are details that we can work out. They are an engineering cost, value engineering question that we deal with all the time.
I understand. Great. I understand. Just take care of it.
They are engineering design details that we deal with all the time on projects, and I don't see that as a big issue. I think frankly, I don't see timing the construction of the segment of 35th inside the project to coordinate with matching, frankly, the city segment, so to speak, coming up from the south boundary. That is a workable deal. We really are talking about funding issues primarily. That gets us into looking harder and closer at phasing, because I think the city staff will tell you that as we got into looking at phasing and when things could be done, some things work out because we recognize all your funds are not immediately available and that. So I think Mr. Kearns would like to just make a few comments.
Give me just a minute. Let's see. And we talked about this a little bit, but obviously under item B on is shared responsibilities, and I think that goes back to probably some of the discussion we've had right now. You know, you're wanting the county commission to make a decision on this thing sooner than later, and yet you're telling us there's all these details that still are out there to be worked out. So from a shared responsibility standpoint, how quickly can that be done?
I would say that we could have all details resolved in a finalized agreement in place for your consideration in 30 days. I mean, we have the manpower to work on the engineering issues immediately.
Mr. Chairman, I would need direction from my five bosses by consensus on what option, flavor, or combination or variation of the options you would like me to negotiate towards.
We will. Reach consensus this afternoon, or we could actually take it up at the board meeting on Tuesday.
Okay.
That gives us over the weekend to kind of think about what we think some of the best options are, and in consideration of some of the discussion that we're having today.
Can I have one more question? Sure. We have the funds available, look like, for the acquisition already, correct?
for the right-of-way acquisition, you do have the $3.6 million.
And that's the major part of our funding over the next 12 months anyway, and that's what we would need to work on.
That's what we need, yes, sir. That's what we need to be working on most expeditiously.
Everything else would come secondary to getting the right-of-way.
We still would have to, and I don't want to speak for John Gary a second time, but we're going to need to know where all the money's coming from before we enter into it. Or John, a variation of that comment?
John Gary, County Finance Director. Absolutely. I mean, we need to, when we get the consensus, we're going to have to understand what option we're going to be using and whether or not we're going to need to borrow money or not. So what I heard Mr. Gray say was that they're going to want to get reimbursed. The deal that the city has, where the city will be able to reimburse based on tax incremental issues, is not going to be available to the county, which means whether they do the road or we do the road, we're going to have the cash to pay for that road before we have the cash. We can't just pay it on a cash flow basis. So unless there's something different that I'm not hearing, I don't know how option four is going to work for us. But, you know, I have not discussed this with Mr. Gray, so I don't. But that's what I heard just now. And again, Mr. Chairman, if we borrow the money, any kind of bank loan, again, as Mr. Niblock said, now's the time to do the bank loan, because we could be looking at 100 additional basis points by the time the end of the year rolls.
John, it was my desire from all along is for us to try to, I guess, come up with the funds from other projects, other whatever that's been identified. But yeah, let's assume that we did enter into a bank loan or something at that level. What revenue stream would you use to repay the loan?
Yes, the 5 cent.
5 cent gas tax.
Yes.
All right. Which brings us to what you were just talking about on option four. If the developer tried to do it, why couldn't we pledge those same dollars in gas tax to reimburse versus paying the bank
loan? If the developer wants to get reimbursed as he substantially completes segments of the project, we're not looking at a 10-year repayment period. We're looking at a 3 or 4 year repayment period. So we're not going to have the cash from the gas tax. That cash is going to come in very slowly over a period of years.
So the bank loan would be for a longer period of time.
And if something changes, we could structure the bank loan so that it could be prepaid with no penalty.
For another 25 basis points.
Yeah, it'll be a slight cost.
The Sharks Ferry allocation, is that available now?
Lanier, that money is to be reimbursed, but it has not been yet received. Is that correct?
Which
the Sharks Ferry?
Sharks Ferry money, the $3.25 million.
That money is available.
It's
right
available.
Now.
Yes.
Okay. And then we were also talking about Lanier moving some money from other projects. What are we?
It came up at the board meeting.
At the TPO meeting as well.
TPO meeting.
About maybe 92nd. Or whatever that is, the bypass for Bellevue and different things like that.
Yes,
move some of that money.
And if it's the desire of the board to move some money from that project, you have probably about $2.5 million you can move around.
Can we do it without taking out a bank loan?
Well, if you look at option one, we need 4.7. I mean, option two, we need 4.7 million. Option six, 6.6 million. Option two is doable if we move money from the Bellevue bypass and we use the available money we saved from the bond.
And the Sharps Ferry.
We would be very close to do.
And then what about?
And the Sharps Ferry money.
That's
yes.
There.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The money we saved from the bond, that's the Sharps Ferry money.
We're going to get a reimbursement as well later on for the money from the flyover.
Right.
How much money was that?
6.5.
Yeah, but that money would not be available till after we finish construction and get reimbursed.
What's
that?
2 to 3 years out.
It's about 2 years out. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the issue is, though, Commissioners, if we took a bank loan out, then we could actually, when we got that reimbursement, we would have to pay off the loan.
If you look on the second page under option two, using the money we saved from Sharps Ferry Bridge, we would still need about $4.7 million to do the section from 27th Avenue to the east. So if we take $2.5 million from the Bellevue Beltway, that would leave us with about $2 million.
That might leave us a little latitude for our subsequent negotiations.
Okay. Or we could convince our chairman to utilize some of our reserve for contingency money.
As much yours as it is mine. I don't have a special account. Yeah, I can just get money out of it.
And also part of that option, we are saying that the developer is going to build the section on the Magna property from 27th Avenue to the west.
Option two.
That's option two.
You guys were okay with that with reimbursement right away, or?
We can handle the construction for reimbursement. You would say.
Steve, I'm sorry. If you're going to talk, we need to be on the record, so you'll have to step up. It's okay. You can go. Yeah, that's fine.
If we're going to be immediately reimbursed, we could handle it. You're going to save some money that way because I believe we will get the job done a little more cheaply than if you have to go through the system. I would note, though, that my observation and other professionals is that your county engineering department is unusually adroit at handling construction projects. That's not always true with all the governmental agencies, but they're very good at handling this. But you know, it allows you to compress the time frame if you do it as a private bid. It allows you to select your bid list, and there are a lot of advantages to doing it that way on a reimbursement deal. So we can work with you on that.
Do you guys have a preference? Does that help your timeline at all, or? I mean, or you just, either way is fine.
Well, you know, we want to work with you to get the deal done in a fashion that works for everybody. If it's better for you, for us, to do that segment of the road, we will do it. And we will do it with a cap on how much it could cost, and I'm pretty confident we can get it done at that cost or less. This team has a lot of experience in building roads and infrastructure, as a lot of people here know.
Mr. Kern? Give me one more second.
Okay.
Let me just kind of work
just down. Just trying to get off this witness stand here.
Oh, it hadn't even gotten good yet.
Okay, all right.
I have your back, Steve.
Yeah. Now, that gives me a lot of
time. He may be up there, too, Monier.
I have an item on here about grant funds, but I think Rick kind of spoke to that already, so we probably don't need to rehash that. Future. Maybe you guys want to say something one more thing.
Mr. Chair, let me address that. From a state grant or from a grants fund opportunity, I addressed the rail portion of that, and that would be a smart strategy for all three parties to participate in. Mm-hmm. If the strategy was to design and put in place all your right-of-way, have construction documents ready to go, waiting for we'll call it a catalyst project, in that case there may be some resources available from the state through specialized programming that would allow us to do some subsidization of road cost. So there could be, again, it's a scenario based upon an end user, which is driven by the number of jobs and the value of those jobs, but there are programs out there that we could be leveraging not only for rail, but also for road surface as well.
Okay. Thanks.
And I would add to Rick's comments, our strategy is, as we outlined on the north segment, that it would apply to the east-west too, is to have everything designed and permitted. Because that is a much cleaner picture and a much cleaner package to give to a user to show them not only do we have the agreement, but we have the design, we have the permits, we're ready to go. It's just a matter of pushing the dirt. The user is going to be sophisticated. They're going to be able to look and know exactly how fast you can build the road. When people like me start looking at these projects, the unknown question is how long it takes you to get a permit.
We're not forcing you to speak, Bill, if you don't want to.
I don't want to, but I'm going to. Bill Kearns, 12785 Northeast 72nd Boulevard, the Village. Thank you for spending so much time and your staff's time on this project. I really don't know about this grade elevation. And I'm not worried about it, because the big picture is I just want to make sure that whatever the road is, it's to me it's just a logistics issue, queuing problem. I want to make sure those big trucks can move however they have to move. And I want to make sure that the rail works and functions within that development. Because I know that every city and town and county all up and down here is getting ready for this Panama Canal change. And this is seismic change distribution. It's happening right now. If we don't do it, that land out there just goes in trust for my kids, because that's how long we're just going to get swept. And I know it. I knew it, and I felt it in my gut that was the right piece of real estate. Not to make some big amount of money on it. I mean, I could have put $9 or $10 million a lot of places safer than that and been generating income. But I put it there because I knew that I knew what was happening with the canal. I knew what was happening with the rail. And I knew that if I had it there, when this economy turned, and when that is, I can't tell you. But I would get a lot of distribution that would want to go on that site, and I knew it would create a lot of jobs. And I lived in Ocala for a long time, and some of you know me, and I care about whether or not people are out of work. So here we are today. This isn't a real estate deal where a developer wants you to pay for all this stuff, so he makes all this money over here. I gotta tell you, I've never put a pencil to how much money I make, a penny on this deal. I have never one time sat down and figured out how much money I'm making this thing. Because I'm always afraid I won't make any. I mean, it's the dirt work out there that I have to do is astronomical. I'm afraid to talk to Farner and ask him what it is, how much dirt I have to move. I'm not kidding you. I never ask. Because I know it's huge. It's millions and millions and millions of dollars. What I hope we can do is not get beat out by the competition, because we have a lot of competition. And that competition is a lot more ready than we are. And if we move now, and the other thing is, I'm not trying to put a hurry up on anybody. But if we get this done, we're going to be at a competitive advantage, not at a disadvantage, because we have a lot going for us. We have that rail coming up through here. We're in Ocala. We're isolated. We're not Alachua. You know, we're not Lakeland. I mean, we have a lot to offer logistically and community-wise to someone that wants to move in here. more than those other places. We have more than they do. So I want to make sure that we're in a good position. Now, as Steve has said, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out. Walmart found this on their own. No real estate broker took Walmart out there and said, hey, wouldn't this be a great place? Those guys don't operate like that. They don't operate like that. They look at a map. I mean, I was involved in a Kia plant when they built it up in Georgia. No one sold them on that. Kia looked at a map and said, that's where we can put the plant. And the rest of its history, the plant's pushing out vehicles today. That site has what it takes. I'm not going to go out and spend time and money, and that's a lot of it, putting that site out there until I can walk in to the user, and I want big users. I don't want little users. And I can lay it out and say, with finality, Ocala's ready, and here it is. And if you don't believe it, here's a stack of contracts that says that when A happens, B happens. And we never again, and we don't have to have a vote of any governmental body. Then they'll believe us, because it'll be a fact. In other words, they won't have to believe us. They can see it in writing. So I know we get bogged down in the details. I know that you all have a lot of money issues to work around. We're willing to work around those money issues with you as much as we can. But this is not, the one thing I like to leave you with, as a real estate developer, this is hardly a home run. I mean, it's not even close. As a job generator, it's a long ball over center field with bases loaded. If we're ready to get the big distribution guy that comes down the road, and they're going to come. They're coming. These ports going up the East Coast are falling over each other trying to get the capacity to take these larger ships. So we're here. If we do this, we can have the jobs. If we don't, we'll be in the same shape in 10 years. I mean, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. So we'll do everything we can to do it. I bought that land. I didn't borrow any money. And I did it just on a hunch. And I flew up to Delaware myself, went to the auction, and I bought it. And I wrote a check for it. So, you know, my representatives have come back and said, well, they want to make sure you have skin in the game. Well, I've got skin in the game. And I don't like to come to these meetings because I have a dislike for the way real estate developers, you know, they get the rock star real estate developers and they go broke. I'm not one of those guys. I'm a pretty local guy. I got 9 friggin' kids. And I ain't going nowhere. And, you know. So
you're a lightweight compared to Mr. McLean.
7 of mine are 5 and under. So
it's got me beat on that.
So you know, I've said it before, and maybe you all have heard it, but it's the truth. You know, when I was a young guy starting a business, actually I was in the Army. I'd come to Ocala when OBS had sales, and I'd sit there. And I'd come back into the country down at McDill, and if OBS had a sale, I was coming to OBS. I didn't have I didn't know. I didn't know anything about horses. But I knew, you know, when I was a kid, I loved horses and couldn't have them. And, you know, the family didn't have the money, we didn't have a place to have horses. So I used to come, I swear I went to that horse auction no fewer than 50 times. I used to sit there all day long. Could walk out back, see all the guys buying the horses, and think, someday, I'm going to move to Ocala. And I did. I moved to Ocala, lived in, up in 225A for a long time, or I met a member of you. And I've since, you know, moved on, built another horse farm right in the middle of the villages, and that's where I live, and I still lose money on horses. But that's how I ended up here. So I knew from a guy in his 20s that I was coming to Ocala because I liked it. And I always did. I met a lot of people here. I have a lot of friends here. And Ocala, I don't think, needs to be in the shape economically that it's in. And I think this will help it. So I think, a really good group of people that are helping Magna, whether we call it Magna. We intentionally didn't call it Magna. We called it the Ocala Marion County Economic, Ocala Marion County Commerce Park, so that we'd include Ocala and Marion County. And I know that's a little long name, but we're eventually going to change that name in the public's perception, and that's the name we'll go nationally with. And I think Marion County's got a lot. Marion County's actually an easy sell if you have the right facility for these companies. I mean, it's not. You want to attract workers. This isn't a bad place to live, and that's all I have to say.
Mr. Kearns, let me just say, I don't think anyone here is doubting your ability to do what you need to do on this property, and we appreciate what you've said to us today. You know, I think the issue for us is that we do have the public trust to be considered about, you know, to be considered with, and so we're just wanting to try and make sure that if we move forward with this, that we've done our that due diligence. And it's a nasty process, and it's part of the one that, you know, most guys don't like, but it's part of what we have to go through. But please don't let this be a reflection. That's not a reflection on you or your character or your intentions for Marion County. We appreciate what you're doing, and I think that we want to try to move forward, but there are some details, unfortunately, sure, that we need to know about.
Yeah, so I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand that.
I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
There was a item on here. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Stella with the Florida Northern Railroad.
Yes, ma'am.
If it's okay to go ahead and speak now.
Yeah, yes.
I know I'm betting in a little bit, but one of the concerns I hear is the ability to sell the site. For the last 10 years, I've gone up and down 75, okay, hoping and praying that the site would come to fruition. For the last 3 years, we've invested a lot of time and energy with the owners of the property and the developers, and I can tell you that we have, in the last few months, shown the site actively, and we'll continue to do that. Pete Tesh and his organization works very closely with us. The railroad and Enterprise Florida and the city here in the county are ready to see what we can produce. If you are worried about your investment, I used to sit on the other side of the podium as well and have to make decisions on where the money's going to come from. But believe me, if we don't get the infrastructure in place, which I believe you are actively trying to do, then I'll have to keep driving up and down 75 and not stopping here to bring you the jobs. Okay?
Thank you, Stella. Mm-hmm. Do you have a question?
No.
I'm sorry.
Is this an open meeting at all?
Well, it will be now. Come on.
My name's Gus Galloway. I'm a commercial broker in Marion County. I've been here since broken real estate since 1970. I have to give some of my background so you might think I have some credibility here. Some of you may think I do, some of you may not. But I've been an industrial broker most of my career, particularly the last 30 years, and industrial brokerage has been the primary focus of my practice. At one time, I had all of the excess properties of CSX Railroad listed, sold a lot of that, thought I'd decide not to sell. I've developed one small industrial park myself. I was a partner with Bob and Devine at Ocala Airport Commerce Center. I've developed property for users as diverse as subsidiaries of Home Depot. Most of them kind of smallish type properties, but I've been in the brokerage business a long time. It sounds like the deal's cut when you sit in the audience here, but I'm going to be the guy that's like the emperor's new clothes. You know, we need to take to pay attention to this. This thing doesn't have some clothes on parts of it. Now, part of it is the absorption of industrially zoned land in Marion County. It's the slowest sale there is. We still have vacant parcels in Airport Commerce Center. Most of Meadowbrook is vacant. You've got a whole industrial park called Deerwood Commerce Park that there's not a single lot sold to a user in. And we've probably got more industrially zoned real estate in Marion County than we have apartment or retail combined. I asked Charlie if we had, if a map study had been done, and he said there had been. I got the report, Charlie didn't see any maps in there. Saw one of Airport Business Park, saw one of Magna. But if you're gonna consider industrial development, you need to take a county map and put every zoned industrial property on that map. See where they are, see where the infrastructure is, and see what the alternatives are here. I've been on the board of directors of EDC in years past for several years, served on a committee that searched and searched and searched to find big box sites. At that time, we were looking to the south part of Marion County, and that never came about. We've had two big box users since I've been in the real estate business here in 40 years. 40 years. I don't think that you're gonna have big box users pouring in here because we've got a piece of dirt up there. I say that because I go to industrial brokers meetings, going to one March the 11th, be in Orlando, where we hear about developers that are pulling back their horns. In Tampa, they're literally leasing buildings for net zero return because they can't get them leased. I don't know what impact the Panama Canal is gonna have on Marion County. I think it's gonna have limited effect because we're not a port city. Now, they will have. I think you're gonna create a glut of industrial real estate. And I think a lot of it's gonna sit there for a long, long time. Now, why are we taking money away from other projects? I don't understand that. And even then considering borrowing money on top of that, I must be watching the wrong news when I see Madison, Wisconsin, these other states having a fit because they can't pay their bills. And we're talking about diverting money and then borrowing money. I don't see the logic to that, I'm sorry. What happened to 44th Avenue? Half of that project is unfunded and undone. That's a great industrial corridor. There's numerous large parcels all up 44th Avenue, already zoned, goes to an interchange. 44th Avenue is served by all the exchanges that we have on the interstate. We're going away from that. I don't understand that. The only industrial project going on right now in Marion County is Cone Distributor. That road's not going to be finished to his site, as I understand it. So what are we doing here? We got all this airport industrial park being developed out here. Where is that competitive with this site? I mean, I don't understand. I had a broker call me this morning and said, Gus, you got to go to that meeting. I can't go, but you got to go. Now, I hadn't intended to go because I don't have a dog in this fight. But I live in Marion County, and I'm concerned about seeing vacant land sit there. We've got too much industrial zone land now by virtue of the fact that it's not being used. We've got more vacancy in industrial buildings in Marion County than we've had in 40 years. Granted, some of them are functionally obsolete. Some of them aren't. We've got some nice big box buildings here. Can't get them leased. Can't get them leased for $275 a square foot. You cannot build a building today in Marion County industrially and lease it and pay the mortgage. You cannot do it. So you guys are spending my money, and I want you to think about that. And you're spending yours too. But do a map study. Now, if you've got plenty of money and you can do it, you don't have to divert money from these other projects, and you can finish 44th, which has been talked about for 15 years, do this project. It's not a bad idea. But you know what's liable to happen with the next big box user that comes along? He's liable to say, well, I want to be near the villages. How about something at 484? You're not going to make a user take this site simply because you built it. And the idea of governments creating jobs is a myth. Governments do not create jobs. I don't want you creating jobs. I want you creating the right conditions for businesses to create jobs, but you're not going to create jobs. That's not going to happen. Got to be careful here when you talk about spending our money. But I know something about absorption of industrial real estate because I've been doing it all my life. I had to get out of Airport Commerce Center because it was sucking so much money out of me I couldn't afford it. My partner said, Gus, we've got good news and bad news. You can get out, but your money stays in. So I've got four vacant industrial buildings right now. I know what that feels like. Be careful with what you're doing. You need a distaff meeting. You need to get some people like Thad Boyd in here, Albert Peak, Van Aiken, Richard Vero, Heritage Management, Sandon Weechens, people who deal in industrial brokerage and give you a flavor for what happens here industrially. You can't take what's going on in Chicago for Ocala. Now right now, I went to Orlando, I guess it was about 6 months ago. They put us in a van and took us to one industrial subdivision. There were six brand new 100,000 square foot buildings sitting vacant. I went by that park the other day, they're still vacant. So don't get enthused by something without looking at the other side of this equation. And I sent all of you an email. I thank Kathy for calling me back. Kent calling me back. I called Charlie because I knew him. Didn't hear from the rest of y'all, and that doesn't hurt my feelings. But everything I said on that email was correct, and I left some things off. Thanks for letting me vent my spleen here. But get some local people here. I understand the developer. I have a high regard for Steve Gray and Bill Kearns. But go look at what's out there unused today. I've worked with a lot of industrial prospects. I did the Cheney Brothers deal. I was the listing and the selling broker and negotiated that deal from start to finish. I'm working with an industrial prospect now, 60,000 square foot user, may or may not come. The real estate is the last reason almost that a company comes to a community. They come because of the community, because of educational opportunities for employees, because of cultural advantages, and down the line, they hit real estate. And there you've simply got to be a player. You've got to be competitive with what else is out there. But real estate is not the primary reason anybody comes to Marion County. I've never leased or sold a single building that was a primary consideration. So don't think if you build it, they will come. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wants to speak since we're in public comment? Under item four, we talked about project challenges and obstacles. I think we've vetted that a little bit already, and unless there's something somebody wants to add, I think we could just keep on going. Item five is a master timetable, that's somewhat, I think, been provided. However, it'd probably be good to try and firm that up. And then six is of the agreement structure. Steve, did you want to speak to that a little bit?
The agreement structure would be a tri-party agreement. The parties would be the property owner, the city, and the county. I actually have the preliminary draft, but without the details in it. It would be done as a concurrency development agreement, which is allowed under Chapter 163 of the Florida statutes. That allows you to reserve capacity. The other reason it's done that way is that this property is all within the city, and the city's system provides that you can do a concurrency development agreement and work out your concurrency issues in advance of actually submitting the final site plan. And so that's the process that we're working in. The permitting agency for the actual on-site improvements will be the city. So we're dealing within their concurrency management system. I've had some general discussions with Mr. Gooding, who's seen a lot of my agreements before, usually has a lot of comments on them, but that I think the agreement would specify point by point each party's obligations. And it would specify the timeline for when those obligations need to be done. It will become almost the omnibus agreement that covers the entire project. And, as I said earlier, I think if we can work through phasing and some funding issues that are getting more narrow, we can be at a stage where you could look at a hard document in less than 30 days, which is pretty rapid on a project like this.
Any questions from Mr. Gray on that issue? Right, thank you. That actually concludes the agenda. No, I think, Commissioners, if I could, maybe we'll see if we can get some consensus from my board. Why don't we give you all till the 15th, Lee, to try and work some of the, I mean, I think you know what the details are that we're concerned about. I think you've heard our concerns on some of the details. Put together, that'll give, I think, each commissioner's time to get with you, make sure we're getting all of our questions answered, make sure we understand where, it seems like to me one of the biggest issues is going to be the height of this, road and the rail and some of that stuff. It seems like that's the biggest detail. I think some of the other details can be worked out fairly quickly. You could make a presentation at the board. We can have an opportunity to talk about some of the funding options and some of that kind of stuff as we move forward. But I think it'd be better to maybe wait a couple weeks so everybody can make sure they know where we're headed. Again, I think where the road height is going to be an issue that will drive some of the cost, it seems like to me. So that's probably one of the bigger issues. And I think it's going to be difficult for you to put together funding. In other words, it's what we'll fund if we're not sure what the cost is truly going to be at the end of the day. So I think that would probably be better if that's okay, Commissioner.
I'll make a recommendation or suggestion. I think our staff from the county side, city side, is working very well with the developer. But sometimes there are some issues that probably need to be all of us kept more informed. So my recommendation would be to ask the city to name a liaison, the county to have a liaison, the developer, and anyone else, actually, if the railroad wants to be a part of it, to have a committee that would have a timely meeting, whether at the weekly, every other week, or whatever that they decide to meet, so that the information is, whatever the issue might be, that I can come to my board, one of us can come to our board, the city council, one of them can come to their board, and we can discuss it and know the real issues versus what hearsay might be. This project to me is at the level that I think it needs to be, at least until we get to a point where all the major issues are identified and addressed. Then it boils down to just minor issues that perhaps staff and the developer can help again work it out among themselves. But I would ask that we name a liaison and ask the city council to name one if they choose to do so.
We did that last week. So we
did. You did that?
Yes.
Good.
So we're ready.
We'll do ours on Tuesday. We'll do it on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then just the staff, Matt and Dr. Niblock, just schedule. I guess probably by council, so whoever the county commissioner be, and then just pull us into the meetings when they see fit, so that way we get reports back to, as you're saying, perspective of the meetings.
Wonderful.
And then I think, Lee, if you'll go ahead and I think if y'all will go ahead and coordinate, knowing that you're going to have some meetings, go ahead and coordinate them, and then all we'll have to do is the thing we need.
I guess so. We'll need a couple meetings a week if you want to have things hammered out
by the 15th. However, staff deals and Mr. Gray and Paul, however you guys feel that, however many you feel like you need to have, that'll be between, that can be settled between all of you guys. So,
Mr. Chairman, I just want to leave some thoughts as we move forward here today. Yes, the devil's in the details, and I understand that. Of course, I was always raised to stay away from the devil. So, what's a bigger hill to climb in this county, 16-foot of lime rock or 14% unemployment? And, I often talk about, and I know people probably get sick of it, but trying to stay at a 50,000-foot level. The concerns that I've heard this morning of building a road to nowhere, I would suggest to you we're in the middle of nowhere. We had nowhere to stick Cisco. Would that be all the answer to our problems right now? No. We had nowhere to stick Walmart. It seems like we're absolutely in the middle of nowhere, and maybe we build a road to get out of it and start creating some opportunity. Yes, we all, as elected officials, have duties to taxpayers. Those who are not working in this county right now are also taxpayers. and we have a, I would hope that we have a view that government can, while Mr. Galloway is absolutely correct, we don't create jobs, but we create opportunities for jobs and set a tone and an atmosphere in Marion County where we do have some abilities to move forward. I agree with a lot of what Mr. Galloway said. I disagree with the fact that not all of these sites that he mentioned has rail access. Is that the golden goose? No, but I think it creates a site that has a lot more potential. Some of the developers that were mentioned, I think two or three of the names that were mentioned out there of us being asked to go talk to, they are big fans of this property. So we have to go through that detailed process. But if 16-foot lime rock is going to drive our decision, we're not headed in a good path. And a tree line, I look at this thing, this satellite view, I don't know how current this is. One, I'm not sure when this was taken. It looks like there's about 14 trees on that property. There's a lot more space there than there are tree lines. So I just, as we move forward, if we're going to do more for jobs, yes, we have the details, but man, if Glory's on the other side of the 16-foot wall line block, I think we ought to challenge ourselves to figure out how to do that and try to create some opportunities. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
I can't disagree with Daniel. I do think that we are headed in a consensus. I do believe today we talked about the challenges and the obstacles, but I believe at the end of this that there will be an agreement. I believe that it'll be set on everybody's desk within 30 days or less, and we'll be able to make that final decision. And they might be able to take that 16 or 18 foot of rock and throw it in the pile and fill it back up, but Daniel's right. It's time to move on. There are other spots, as Gus had said, there are other opportunities in the community, but I do believe that this is probably a very unique piece with a very unique opportunity that has the potential of opening up some other space in the near future that is really going to be a great asset along I-75 and creating to bring jobs and opportunity in our community, maybe such as no other piece.
Are there any other comments? Lee, I think, on Tuesday, if you have some questions, whatever, we're going to bring them forward, and, if we can get some of that settled. But I think that we're moving forward. I did have one question. Would cutting 16, would that be considered mining?
It's in the city limits, Dan. We
don't want to get to
it. Is it the overlay zone?
We'll saw it. Mr. Chairman, gets the county report in the city.
Dan, President Owen has said he'll let him mine the square if somebody can get a job for so this is mine.
He put it for self mine up on
it. Before you adjourn, Mr. Chairman, I did hear some comments on four and the pushback.
Just,
and
also
on option two.
Just bring that forward.
And because that will drive a time frame, but also here a short time frame is important too, and we'll work for you.
Okay. Chairman, it's 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock.
Six. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Thanks for everyone's comments. We appreciate it. Yeah, have fun.
All right.
State.
But anyway, it's got to be.
I understand.